And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me, while it is day. The night cometh, when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, and made clay of the spittle. He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went this way therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which had before seen that he was blind, said, Is this not that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How are thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? And he said, I do not know. Lord, thank you for giving me this opportunity to teach your word. I pray that you would calm my stammering tongue, Lord, and that you would speak through me. Amen. Being blind is not fun. For some of you, it may even be a fate worse than death itself. It limits you, and it oppresses you. You can only read books that are translated into Braille, and you can only work certain desk jobs. Think of all the things you do on a daily basis that you could not do if you did not have sight. Most of your life revolves around your eyes, and if you lost them, you'd be without hope. And that is what I assume this man in our passage is going through. He's hopeless. He can't do anything. In Jesus' day, there were no desk jobs to work, and there were no books of Braille, for no one could even read or write, really. He had been begging on the streets for his entire adult life. That was all he could do. He relied on the generosity of travelers. How cruel he must have thought God to be. For before he had even been able to sin, he had been punished for this sin. And he probably asked every single day, Why, God? Why? This is what the rabbis taught back in the day. For sin begat bad things. And so if bad things had happened to this man, he must have sinned somehow, or maybe his parents even. And this is what the disciples of Jesus are asking when they come up to this man. Who sinned? He couldn't have sinned. He was blind from birth, so it must have been his parents, right? Well, Jesus has an answer that's different, and he tells us that the man was blind so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Neither this man nor his parents had actually committed such a sin as to cause blindness. He was blind so that Jesus could show God's power through him. Some of you may be thinking of similarities between this passage and Job. A lot of the same things happened to him. Job didn't know why God reduced him to the state of sackcloth and boils, but the people around him, oh, they sure thought they knew. And his friends tried to get Job to confess his sins so that God would forgive him and he would be restored. But Job had not sinned, and neither had this man. Rather, these horrible, terrible things had happened to both men so that God could show his power through them and so he could restore them. And this story is a fantastic explanation of why bad things happen to good people, is it not? When we talk to atheists, we often hear them say that a merciful God wouldn't let bad things happen to good people. This is because they are seeing bad things as a problem, not a possibility. Rather than seeing these bad things as obstacles in people's lives, we need to see how God's power can be shown in their lives. Take Nick, and I'm really going to butcher this one. I'm not so good at Serbian. Vujic, for example. He's a guy with no arms and legs. He's only got one little foot that he uses as fingers. And he's one of the most motivational speakers on the planet. And he travels all over, talking to people about how Christ has changed his life through his disability. And the blind man is the same way. God shows his power of healing as the great physician through this man. Which leads me to the way that Christ actually heals this man. What is with the clay? Why would Christ heal a man with such an unsterile material? It's the absolute last thing you'd ever want in your eyes. You know, if he could just heal people by just giving them a little tap on the shoulder, then why would he use clay? Well, I believe Jesus is using this clay as a metaphor for salvation. Think about how you became saved. It may be through a divorce, a near-death experience, and the death of a loved one. Either way, it probably wasn't very good. It probably wasn't very fun. And this is the same thing. Because Christ, well, you are blind to Christ. You are blind to your own sin. And some really bad things happened. But at the end of it, what happened? The best thing ever came of your life. You became a Christian, and you joined in this great fellowship. And that's what I believe these first 12 verses are all about. They're all about salvation and how through terrible things can come greatness. And that's why we should be treating bad things happening to good people as possibilities rather than problems. Thank you.